Hello and welcome back to episode 52 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Perry the Pig, and with me as always is my co-host here, Dredd. Dredd, welcome back.
Hello, this is Dredd, and in today's podcast topic, I just got back to playing Last Epoch recently, so we're going to be talking about some Last Epoch related things. I don't know exactly, but I do have a few things slated because a few things piqued my interest over the past few weeks, and I've made videos ranting about it.
I love rant videos. I think not enough people who are in like Last Epoch community, like content creation, make videos that aren't just build guides. Like, oh,
I've been trying to change that. I don't know if you noticed.
You absolutely do. But like, I want more of it too. There's some good ideas out there. Like, we don't need everything to be a build guide. I want I don't know, bugs or just like people rambling. Oh, I love rambling. All right, cool. Double coffee sips. I love that. Okay, yeah, so we are 5 weeks, I believe, into the 1.1 patch. So most people are the fair weather fans, the people who want to come in, blast content, and leave. They have left. There are some people out there who are, you know, firmly in the world of Path of Exile. People are checking out other games. We are more than a month.
Diablo in 4 season as well.
Diablo 4 Torchlight's going as well. So the people who have other games that they want to fill their time with, this is a great time not to be playing Last Epoch. But people like you and me and people who, are still watching on Twitch and whatnot,
are probably watching this video, to be honest, as well.
Those people, the Venn diagram is more of a circle. It's just one big circle, isn't it? So we still have things that I want to explore. You still have things that you want to try out. There's lots of things that aren't yet hashed out in terms of like what's powerful, what's not powerful, what's bugged, what's not bugged. But we really are just living in a Sorc world. That's what I've felt. It's like everything that I try, everything that we talk about, like we've got cool stuff to explore. I'm playing a Spear Forge Guard right now, and Twitch chat's literally impressed by the build, and it's only going to get better. I think it's a good build.
Oh, that's because Plague Dragon is a good spear. And giving 5% base crit on top of the 7%.
It is. That's really notable.
People don't realize how strong having just like 22% base crit.
It's been really easy
on a build that can easily slap a Peak of the Mountain on, right? Like,
it's like we're not doing Peak of the Mountain stuff, but it's been really easy to cap crit on this particular character. We'll talk about that later. What I want to say is like a lot of people have moved on. You and I still have things we're working on. I still feel like we're living in a Sorc world because everything melee just kind of sucks a little bit more. Oh,
that's actually funny. That's actually what I recently been working on
about melee stuff.
Yes, I have been working on melee.
So I don't really have any particular topics I want to talk about, but you said that you had things that you wanted to bring up.
There is a few things to actually talk about this time around. I've been, that's what I've been working on because we weren't going to do a podcast last week, so we got to catch up. Okay, so I came back, okay, and I finished that curse poison spreading warlock thing I was talking about. That is finished. It did 700 corruption fine. It was a fine build. Like, it's not like an OP warlock build, but the biggest problem is currently the poisons, as you know, the poisons from Spirit Plague, they don't inherit the more damage modifiers of Spirit Plague, which would
feels like a bug, but you know, bug
it. It's not a bug, but it is like Mike said. I talked to Mike about it beforehand, and he said that Spirit Plague is a spell that applies a curse called Spirit Plague. Spirit Plague the spell and Spirit Plague the curse are two different things. So when the things in the skill tree say Spirit Plague, it means the curse. But when it says Spirit Plague also applies, that means the spell.
This feels like something you tell the principal in order to get out of like a detention for punching another kid. Like, I didn't punch the kid. They ran into my fist. There's two completely different things.
Their face was just orbiting me, you know, and I collided with them. Yeah. That's why that build ended up not being as good, because it's funny because the damage carried me all the way to like 500 corruption. So if you don't know, the poisons don't have any modifiers other than duration from the Spirit Plague, right? When you apply the poisons, they get the same duration as Spirit Plague, which is like 4 seconds or 5 seconds or something like that. And they don't get any other modifiers. They don't get the poison duration or anything like that, right? And that carried me all the way to like 500 corruption, which is way farther than what the devs intended. But as soon as I started pushing up, I started feeling the less more damage. And it's just like, ugh, it sucks. But before that, it was great. And like I said, if that more damage worked, that build would have been an amazing build.
Like, it's not a bug, but like, you know, maybe that's the kind of thing that EHU wants to change with one
point. Well, they said be much that more they're going to change. They're going to, but Mike said that they're probably going to change the name of the skill, the spell that applies Spirit Plague, and just like voodoo magic or something. I don't know.
So instead of fixing it to be more intuitive, they're just going to change the words so that it's intuitive, but in the wrong way.
I mean, it's fine as long as they like go back and fix the tree and stuff.
As long as it makes sense, that's fine.
Yeah, if they go back and make all the more damage modifiers work for both things.
It's something that I just discovered recently, with Eye of Reen. Sorry to like go off topic, but
you're good. Go ahead.
I want things to make sense. Like
we should talk about that.
I want them to be fixed. I'll explain in just a moment here, but I want these things to be fixed in a way that I like. But more important than that, I want them to be intuitive. That's the most important thing to me. I want me to be right, of course, but I want them to be intuitive most important.
Well, the rest of the game works like that. It's just this specific. Like, for instance, it's funny, okay, right? So it says Spirit Plague does more damage, and you have Spirit Plague causing the poisons, right? And that doesn't work, quote unquote, right? But if you think about it, there are other skills that apply ailments without hitting them, like Glyph of Dominion applying ignites. If you grab a node that says Glyph of Dominion deals more damage, that applies to the ignite applied by Glyph of Dominion. So there's no reason it shouldn't work, right? Now, what they could do is they pulled out that dumb phrasing. It's like the direct skill damage, right? And that would be fine if it just had direct skill damage. Like, if it just said it, sure, whatever, right? But, like, there is precedence for this to be working, right? So it's not like as if we're in a weird place where, like, we don't know what's going on.
Well, I wonder if it's, like, Glyph of Dominion technically has a hit component to it. I wonder if that's
it. It does have a hit component.
But, like, I wonder if, could you find another skill out there that, like, doesn't hit at all?
A black hole? Black hole does the same thing.
Oh, yeah? Black hole is
black no hole hit applies ignites. Yeah, well, originally you can add a hit component later, but it doesn't inherit any of those stats.
Probably the more damage does apply to the ignites, right?
No, it does apply to the ignites. Otherwise, that skill would be fucking trash.
Come on, Spirit Plague, what's going on?
Yeah, it's just weird. It's okay. It's fine. It's just like the fact the build was working without the massive four times damage was great.
I hear you. Let me ramble for just like 30 seconds about this.
Yeah, you're talking about Eye of Reen, right?
Yeah. So Eye of Reen, great weapon, and we've talked about like dual wield Warpath, and like I'm a Warpath hater, but I really genuinely wanted to play Warpath.
Goes off. Let's explain what Eye of Reen is for folks at home.
Oh, you read it.
Eye of Reen is a one-handed unique katana. Okay, it's got a lot of crit multi on it, and whenever you use a skill and crit with it,
what's the precise wording on it?
I think it's use a skill.
I think it's
use a melee skill.
Direct use melee skill.
Yeah, Eye of Reen. Okay, it says chance to gain a stack of Reen's ire for 5 seconds when you crit with a direct melee attack.
Direct melee attack. That's it.
Yep. It used to not say that. You used to be able to do it with like healing hand shenanigans. You get like which I planned on abusing at one point, but rip that. and the problem is, it turns out the game is bugged. Who would have thought? And if you use Warpath, that doesn't count as a direct melee attack, even though you're channeling it. And so it's same thing with Flurry, right?
It's not a bug. It's intentional.
Oh, is it? It's intentional.
It's that this literally work with intentional. Warpath? Yes,
that is intentional.
It's intentional. Warpath? It is not a bug.
Do they just hate Warpath?
Yes, they do.
like that was like one of the strongest things you could do with Warpath.
In patch 1.1, they added the text onto Eye of Reen that said direct, and the intention, as far as I know, was to nerf like gel cores and to nerf, to a lesser extent, healing hands procs. But of course, it also hit things like Shatterstrike, because Shatterstrike, instead of hitting one or six times,
you no longer get to use that with Shatterstrike.
Yeah, well, you still do. You just you only get two procs of it. But like the recasts don't count because they're recasts.
Which doesn't, like, it's such a weird way of going about it. They could just, you know, I don't know, nerf gel cores or something in a way that made sense instead. But...
So I've whenever we talked about like Warpath builds, which is kind of often for how little I like Warpath, but we've said like dual wield fire crit Warpath would be like the thing to compete with VK Void stuff. And like you'd go Irene plus Scepter. And that's, you wouldn't go anything else because Irene's so good. Now that Irene's not even there, I don't know if you want to play dual wield fire crit melee Warpath anymore. There's just like even fewer Warpath builds than I thought.
Well, that was the main way to make Void Melee Crit Warpath work as a build. Like, you would literally
Void or run fire? You mean fire, right?
Both. You could do both. It doesn't matter.
I mean, but like, all either. The Void builds are going Apathismal.
Yeah, but I, like, for damage, if we care about damage, it's what you're doing. You're using Eye of Ring, because Eye of Ring gives you 500% crit multi, and it means you don't have to use the stinky boots, the
it's
crit multi
good.
Boots.
I like
it. It's really strong. And it's the reason why we actually talk about Warpath so often, which is funny, right? Is the fact that whenever Warpath is good, it means the game's broken in some way.
You think
so? Because they have, well, what they have done is they've reduced the amount of damage that Warpath does to the point where it's bad in general. And whenever it is good, it means there's something broken with the game. So, like, for instance, you know, the Eye of Rain thing that made Warpath good. Oh, look, Eye of Rain is a strong item, and it's making... Because the thing is, like, Eye of Rain Warpath is good, don't get me wrong, back in the day. But now, like, you use Eye of Rain with, like, any other melee skill, too. Like, I think the Healing Hand stuff was better, right? Obviously, it was a better use of it. And now that's gone, right? It's like, well, now Warpath's back in its state. And it's like, whenever something is strong enough to make Warpath good, they're like,
yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, I was looking at Warpath. I literally wanted to play Warpath despite being a hater. And like, it just felt like problems to solve that weren't worth solving.
There's one build right now that is worth playing on Warpath, and that is the Flameburst Smite stuff. And that's it, pretty much.
You think that's better than that, like DK?
There's the bleed. There's the bleed axe throwing smite on proc that might be good because they buff the crap out of it thing.
I wouldn't believe that. I would say like VK, and then after that the paladin.
I mean,
stuff.
I'll be honest. I wouldn't play melee crit Warpath VK right now. It doesn't.
You really wouldn't.
There are other things that just do way more damage.
I agree with you.
I'm talking like I would. I think if Event Horizon was a better item, I think you could, you know, talk about, you know, the War Slash stuff, but I don't know. I just don't like it anymore. Like with Reen getting nerfed, that's enough for me to be like, no, I just don't want to play
it. Warpath, like, what's it do? What a cool skill.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I brought this up is that to double down on what you were saying, I don't care I care how things are fixed. Of course, I want to be right. But more importantly, I want them to be intuitive to someone who's reading the item or reading the skill.
Yeah.
And Irene says direct use melee skill. And Warpath is a direct use melee skill. They should, like, if they want to keep it like it is, if they want to, you know, fuck Warpath, they should add text on it that says, like, excludes channeling skills or excludes Warpath or does not work with XYZ. Like, they should change the wording on it.
Yeah, I would believe that using a direct melee skill would count channeling Warpath or count channeling Flurry. Like, you think Warpath got dicked on. Like, Flurry, that was the only reason to ever even touch Flurry, man. That was the only reason was you could abuse Reen with it, right? And get a billion stacks. Mm-hmm. That was the only reason. And, like, imagine, like, melee Flurry, like, we were memeing around, like, Warpath catching strays. Flurry is getting dicked on even harder if you think about it. Sorry for the language, but I believe it is appropriate in this manner. Like, it is getting absolutely decimated in terms of like because, like, you know, it got the bug fix, and then like all the rogue nerfs came in and they targeted all the rock stuff, and now Flurry is Papega. But I was planning on playing a melee Flurry build that used Eye of Rain to try it out. Be like, hey, can this work? Is this like this? Like, is it? It's like Dread Mean tier. I'm like, all right, let's try it. But now I can't even do that.
What about net puncture traps with Event Horizon?
Your throwing attack speed would be so low, it wouldn't be worth it. That applies to throwing attack speed, by the way.
Oh my god, does it?
Yes. It says it's generic attack and cast speed. It applies to everything.
Oh my god, it's so much worse than I thought it was.
I told you, it's awful. Like, they made it bad, which is sad.
When using melee attack, temptation.
Doesn't it say?
Oh, it's less attack and cast speed.
Yeah, it's generic.
God, that's brutal.
Yeah, they were very specific. Wait, why cast speed?
What the fuck?
Because they don't want you. Because you could play. You could do Chaos Bolt shenanigans.
I mean, but can't you still do that Proctophthonic Fissure and it ignores cast speed?
Sure. Yeah, but.
But then it's garbage. Like, yeah. Okay. Well, never mind. I'm
but
off.
Then you're
it.
Like playing. But then you're playing like a Warlock with a
guy.
It's like you have so
agree.
Many, so many. Like the only build that I think that thing is even worth touching on, other than the memes with Lethal Mirage, which are
or one-shotting Abroth. Yeah, if you're not using it for one-shotting Abroth, I think it's like greatly
is
diminished.
The channeled Healing Hands.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, like channeled Healing Hands does not use your attack speed. It just casts
or
once.
Upheaval or you know Locust Swarm, stuff. Swarm Blade stuff.
Yeah, that could work too. That's actually something I was thinking about. It's just like the movement speed penalty is just too bad. Like you'd rather just use something that just
well, Locust Swarm is sweet or it vaguely interesting because it snapshots it and then you can use evade and you can get your movement speed back.
Oh, I guess if it snapshots, but that's a different problem.
I mean, okay.
Well, I mean, that's a are they going to remove it or not kind of thing.
Sure. I think it'd be really hard. I'd be shocked.
If everyone started playing it, I think they would remove it and be like, that's a bug, by the way.
I'd be shocked if they remove snapshotting within the foreseeable future.
Oh, I know. It's just one of those things that they would be like, wait, you're having fun with that item that we purposely made bad?
A melee skill?
Bonk. Dude, you saw. I was actually making... Like, remember, I was making Chronostasis actually function. Remember with the Smelter's Wrath thing?
Sure.
With the amulet? Remember I was making that function? Guess what happened? Next patch, the amulet got nerfed. It's like, oh, and Rebuke got nerfed too, multiple times. So it's like we want it to be bad. We don't want you to have fun with it.
All right, so you said you had a couple topics that you were interested in discussing today.
Yeah,
let me know what's
on your mind. First thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the build I played this week. There's a paragraph. Aurelis, Polaris, Devotion, Smite, Multi-Strike, Void Knight.
Was it Electrifier or Smite?
It was crit
that's what I meant.
I explained it in the video. The reason why I went crit instead of going electrify, because I think electrify is better, right? By the way, just to be clear, I think electrify is the better way of playing it because your multi-strikes hit in electrify, all that, right?
Okay.
Well, the problem is... I'm just laughing because...
I got you. Keep going.
So the fact that we know that reversal is getting... change next patch in patch 1.2. They said they were going to do it. They're going to redistribute the buffs in reversal, right? But I severely doubt they will keep a modifier that says 120% increased dot damage, right? And that is carrying every single like dot sentinel build right now. So if they remove that knight, don't trust them to actually make dot on Sentinel not be trash after that. I wanted to make a version that survived next patch, so we went crit instead. Mm-hmm. We went crit. And it was a wonderful time. It was a melee build I actually liked. You know, like in Path of Exile, when you have extra strikes, it was like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the smites would come down, they would kill things, then you get extra smites because they'd be killing. Then you get the extra smites from Polaris as well, which made killing spires not a pain in the ass, by the way. Mm-hmm. And all of that combined, it was like a great build. But I did this. I got to 6 Rune Corruption from level 1 in like 1.5 days. I was rushing my pants off. I was like playing and having some fun with it, right? And I forgot I was leveling with Ignite Hammer Throw, because it's usually what I do for my Twink, Sentinels. And I forgot to respec Volatile Reversal. So I was playing the entire time without the 60% increased damage taken from Volatile Reversal all the way up to 650 Corruption. And I'm just like, wow, this skill build's great, but like the damage is just a little bit lower than I'd want it to be.
Whoops.
And I'm like, oh, look, we're playing the pre-nerf. We're playing the post-nerf Volatile Reversal. Sentinels.
Sentinels. Fuck. But you were dual wielding, right? As a yeah. Paladin?
I was tanky.
Tanky?
Oh, it's because I was using the ring, the stupid ring.
Red ring?
No, not the red ring, no. The other ring.
The ring that only you use and no one else?
Yeah, the ring that makes you immortal and no one uses for some reason, even though it makes you immortal.
That one.
Yeah. Fond of the Erase. I was 4,500 HP, like 70% armor on a dual wielding build.
4,500 HP.
Well, I was constantly at like 500 plus ward and like maybe even more than that. But like I would be gaining like I would be hitting so many times per second because I'm applying so many smites that like I would literally face tank things. Because
I love the idea of Merchant's Guild. It's like, oh yeah, of course I have 4,500 HP.
Oh, I mean, it felt fine. It wasn't like the most I would ever want. Like, damage over time still killed me because EHG really wants to make you die to dot. Because I wanted to have some fun and not use the dot gloves and not use the dot chest and not use the dot amulet and not use the dot relic. How could I? I actually wanted to play something different.
That's all you can do is use all those items. It's basically a set.
Yeah. But I was playing melee, and like, it wasn't that bad because evade helps immensely.
Evade feels amazing on actual melee characters.
Like evade is great because those times where you're just sitting there waiting for the diamond matron to like do the beam, just dash out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You all of these things that you normally die to as a melee build, like, oh, like, look, a bunch of things are shooting you with arrows. You just evade and they don't hit you. And it's like, I feel like melee slowly creeping back up, which is great.
I thought I was going to use swiftness and things like the crab ring on every single build, but I don't want the crab ring. I like using evade. I like dashing around. It's really, really feeling good.
Well, remember a while ago, a podcast or two ago, we were having a conversation about how Last Epoch makes me so stressed because I'm constantly having to dodge things, right? Because my builds aren't necessarily the most tanky of all things because I don't abuse the same thing that everyone else is abusing at the time because I know it's going to get removed in the future. So I'd rather, play something that is viable in the future and not just, viable for 5 minutes. So usually mechanically dodging is part of how I play builds, right? I usually do that. And it's stressful because there's so many things coming at you and you didn't have a way of dodging things back then. Now you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I like it.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Was this, I want to get more used to you bringing up topics of conversation. Was this a topic of conversation or was this just you wanting to talk about your
build? Oh, well, I'm looking for like, because,
what am I going to chime in on?
The topic of conversation.
Where's the topic?
Oh, the topic was talking about how Sentinel so fucked after they reworked.
Oh, totally fucked. They can't add enough damage to every skill in order to make up for what Volatile Reversal was doing for you. Like, it probably keeps the attack and cast speed and movement speed. That is not offensive. Surely it keeps that.
Yeah.
But like, what else are they going to do
about it? I don't know how they go about it. I legitimately don't know. Literally for every single dot build, reversal like signified like 300% more damage.
Gonna go into every skill and be like, okay, well, does this skill get 100% more damage or 200% more damage?
They can't buff the base ailments either, right? Because that would buff all the other builds.
No, they won't do that.
So, like, what else are they gonna do? And it's like, well, we want Sentinel to be shit. I'm like, well, fine.
No, they don't. They don't want it to be bad.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Oh, yeah. I have a Forge Guard rework that I'd like to discuss with you then.
No, Forge Guard's going to get touched again. This is not Copium, I promise.
It's going to get touched again?
So Shaman got updated in 1.0, and it was kind of mid, and then it got updated a little bit more in 1.1, and it was good. So Forge Guard's one patch behind Shaman. Forge Guard got his first update at 1.1, so 1.2, they're going to touch it a little bit more, you know? We're going to feel good next patch about Forge Guard.
Yeah, like... The problem is, I can't even test Forge Guard right now, or at least the builds that EHG wants us to play, like the minion builds or like Smelter's Wrath. I can't even play those because they're bugged out of like to hell. So you I can't can even help testing. Them. Oh yeah. Let me just like go delete Aberroth accidentally because I
it'll have be too much fun.
Yeah. Let me just go.
People like those YouTube videos. Come on, just call it Forbidden Smelter's Wrath and go one shot.
No, I like that's not future proof content. That's like, it's not worth it. It's not worth my time, which I've been very busy of late. I don't know if you've noticed.
You've been pumping out videos. Pretty proud of
No, that doesn't take that long. No, I've been doing real life shenanigans.
Oh, shit,
I've been actually really busy. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I've been doing a lot, but yeah, that was the first topic was talking about Sentinel just getting guttered because I got to taste the nerf beforehand because I forgot about it. And I'm like, if this is what Sentinel is after the changes, I'm going to start a petition. It's awful. It's like, it was really bad not playing with reversal, essentially. Like, I played it as a movement skill, and I got the attack and cast speed, right? But I didn't get the increased damage taken, and I was just playing it. I'm just like, I don't know, like, I'll send you the video missing. Later.
Where is my damage?
Yeah, and that's going to be every Sentinel build here soon.
It makes me wonder about the people who, like, just don't like volatile reversal and don't use it.
Yeah.
That's a different video game they're playing.
About too. Yeah. Maybe that's why everyone thinks Sentinel sucks.
Well, to be fair.
I mean, Sentinel sucks for other reasons. But
so to give you a brief description of what I've been doing, because you just talked about your build. Let me talk about my build that I've been playing on stream for the past couple days. I want to play a Forge Guard. There's someone in the community. Their name's Master Sword. And they have been playing a lot of Forge Guard and a lot of sword builds for as long as I've known them. And they are trying to find like a quote unquote playable melee Forge Guard build. So they choose builds based on like their personal preferences. Like they like using a sword all the time. They don't like Warpath and they don't like minions. So they
have nothing to play.
So me and him, we kind of overlap. Like we both don't like Warpath and we both don't like minions. So we have Shield Bash to pick from, which is, it's a good skill. Shield Bash is a good skill. It scales with investment.
So many people have come up to me and said, Dread, I'm playing the Forge Guard build, the Shield Bash build that I got.
It's good. It's a good awful. Build. It's oh, awful. Is it really that bad?
Everyone's like, I deal no damage. I'm like, yeah, I kind of assumed that. It's like, without an LP axe and without all the gear.
Oh, of course you need all that. Yeah. It's a gear-dependent build that scales up well over time.
And those are just bad builds. That's the problem.
Okay. It's a sword build or sword world.
You remember the same people that are looking for those builds, right? Are the same people that like don't put in the effort to get to that investment. So like, for instance, Dork is perfect for them because they don't have to invest in anything other than like a little bit of mana, right? And that's why I heard so much negative talk around Shield Bash is because it's perfect for it's like Shield Bash, you know, it's so cool, right? And it's like, well, you have to actually put some effort into it. And yeah, and the axe is bugged too by it's just like a little bit of extra flat. It's not a big deal. But yeah, I just heard so many people complain about it. And it's just like, yeah, that's why I didn't play it, because I thought it was going to be a high investment build.
And I think it's a high investment build as well. And like it's the kind of build that I think should exist in the game. So I agree. Just to pontificate for a moment. No, it's not fixed. Oh, it's not fixed. The patch was rolled back. You're right. Patch 115 was rolled back. Whoops. So I'm not going to talk about the bug, but there's a bug. Yeah. It's not really an impactful bug. Shield Bash is the kind of build that I think should exist and should be very commonplace in Last Epoch. Like,
For sure.
It gives you avenues to scale. It's not OP from beginning, and it rewards you for building up your gear and having good gear. Mm-hmm. EHG wants Forge Guard's identity to be your gear matters. I think they fail to deliver on that like, class identity in a number of different ways, but things like the Foe Cleaver node in Forge Guard, yes. Things like Manifest Armor, increased effect of your gear, yes. Things like the entire Shield Bash build requiring gear and scaling up slowly over time and rewarding you for having 1 and 2 LP. Like, that build is a good build. I wish more builds felt like that in terms of gear progression. Does that mean it's a bad build?
Yeah.
But, you know.
I was going to say, like, if they want that build to be what we care about as, quote-unquote, a good build, right? They're going to have to put in a lot of effort.
Yeah, you're right. Like, okay, so like, anyways, so we're trying to find good Forge Guard builds. So Master Sword's idea is, long story short, he's using Leviathan Carver because he just wants damage. And Leviathan Carver has fucking damage on it.
It's a big metal stick. It's
big. So my idea, I didn't really have a planner. I poked around with a whole bunch of different things. But what I settled on for my Forge Guard, because I wanted to like compare notes with him and see if we could like generate between the two of us a good Forge Guard build we both liked. I'm doing a mana generator, mana spender setup with Rive or Vengeance. I'm not really settled on it yet, but like Rive plus Forge Strike. And Forge Strike is just like bonk, 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 bonk. No cooldown.
My question before we move on, because this is an important question, because I've played builds similar.
Mm-hmm.
Does Forge Strike actually merit enough damage that it's better for you to actually be using Forge Strike than just spamming more Rive?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. My tooltip is like 400k right now or so. And that's before I started using Abyssal Echoes. So I'm not using Abyssal yet. So Abyssal can be like more attack speed and 40% more damage.
Okay, because that's the most important part of this discussion. Oh, for sure. Because if you're doing all that work just to do, like, you know, Slinky Strike, it's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bonky. But I'm using a spear as well, which is probably the most interesting part of the build. Because, like, we've made fun of spears for literal years. Well,
it prints something like Plague Dragon's Tongue all of a sudden. Like, I like the idea of spears not having any inherent synergies outside of the one skill, maybe two, I guess, technically, but we don't care about that one. Being, you know, in like no inherent spear synergy, but they just have good stats for the cost, right? Mm-hmm. Good stats. And then all the other things have like less stats than a spear at base, but they all have the synergies. Mm-hmm. So that if I just want to play something with the biggest stats possible, I can go do that.
You know, we actually said the same exact thing when we talked about maces. And when we talked about Event Horizon, when it was first spoiled, we had the same opinion on that as well. Like, we don't need synergies as long as they're Giga Chad, right?
Well, the problem is like, the point of the mace is just a weird one, because stun has always been an issue
with
balancing in RPGs in general. When they're good, it's bad for the game, and they get nerfed into irrelevancy, right? And, like, for instance, I was playing the Avalanche build, right? And that build stuns, but it's not using a mace, right? And it was like very easy to stun. Like, it was like literally stun locking the Nemesis dudes all the way throughout the character, all just stun locking them. Didn't have to interact with a single one. I don't even know what half of them do because of that. And yeah, since that's doing so well on stun, right? And when stun is being used properly, well, quote unquote, abused, it means that when it's good, it's really just really bad for the game. Like, I don't think I should be stunlocking everything with Avalanche. Like, I have like maybe like 1,400% stun chance on it. I don't think that should be a thing. That's crazy. Just being able to stunlock, like, I literally stunlocked, like, I literally stunlocked Orbises all the way to like 500 corruption. They would just sit there like, and it's great. It's great, but I don't think that's like, so the maces, the problem is the way that the stun calculation is, you need to be hitting fast. You want to like hit fast a bunch of times. Hitting hard once is not good. Hitting fast a bunch of times is good. That's why like all the spark charge stuff that works so well and all that, because you're stunning enemies as you're casting your skills, and that makes you feel tankier. It's like the same way, like if you play like freeze setup, you have a bunch of freeze rate chance for some reason, everything's getting frozen. But the problem is, the way that those ailments are, well, ailments or whatever you want to call them at this point, the way that they're balanced is you want a bunch of small hitting skills, and the mace doesn't really work that way, right? Because it's just slow.
So to finish off my build and the spear that I'm using, so I'm using PDT, Plague Dragon's Tongue, and it has a implicit of 7 crit. And then, of course, Forge Guard rewards you for using a spear, plus 5 crit. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you've got 17 flat critical strike chance before factoring in the rest of your gear or even the skill tree itself. And like starting out with 17 crit has made it really, really easy to cap crit. Like I genuinely like using a spear on this character.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I want more spears like PDT. And fewer spears like everything else. I would not have played like it
before PDT existed.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. Why would you use it?
Serpens is very close. Serpens very close. Mm-hmm. Serpens is like almost close enough. It just doesn't have that base crit, so you can only use it with like.
It's also harder to farm as Serpens because you can only drop from one thing. Whereas like PDT, you can farm like, you know, unique spear prophecies.
Oh, I see PDTs all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like.
Anyways, I'm using a spear. It's not a meme, I promise. I'm actually enjoying it. But I know you have a list of multiple things you want to talk about, so I'm going to get back to that real quick. Give me line item.
We can talk about the Forge Guard a little bit longer. Oh, like, okay. What corruption are you at right now?
500-ish.
Okay, do you feel comfortable while doing it? Is it like a butt-clenching experience?
Nope, pretty comfortable.
Okay, I would assume so, because it has all the dot mitigation. That's one thing that they did decide to actually, you get the 5% plus the 30%, then you can run, I'm going to assume you're running some of the dot. Like, when you get to run the dot stuff, like, I think Sentinel feels good. Mm-hmm. It's just, the problem is like, that shouldn't be the only way Sentinel feels good, right?
Oh, I mean, Forge Guard has some of the best dot mitigation in the game. It just doesn't also have interesting gameplay. It's got, everything's pretty boring.
What, you don't like the mana generator play style?
Listen,
like,
I'm having fun with my particular build.
Does that feel good, by the way? You're trying it out.
Yeah, it feels good. I've got tier 7 mana gain on hit on my helmet.
Oh,
so yeah, that feels pretty good. I think without that, it feel pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, that would be awful. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Good. As long as you're having fun with it and you're actually doing well and pushing.
I got the tier 4 kill timer down to 25 seconds.
Cool. We're getting there. So it is actually doing damage. Bum, 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 bum.
It's pretty good.
Cool. Oh, it's kind of funny. I actually had a comment the other day about the T4 Drilla timer. They're like, if it doesn't kill it in 5 seconds, I regard it as garbage.
Fuck that.
I know. But that actually brings me to the next discussion we're having. So I made a video. I don't know. We did not talk about it last video because we didn't have a podcast last time. But it was named Power Creep in Last Epoch Has Become Absurd. And the reason I brought it up was because you brought up it specifically when you were playing the Electrify Smite melee build, right?
Yeah.
So I made that video. I was talking about like, hey, like guys, like the power creep is all over the place. Like you have things that are, you know, way up here and things are like way down here. And it's like all over the place, right? And what made me, I remembered something. The reason why that is right now is because there hasn't been a standardization of how many more damage modifiers certain things get, right? So like we've talked about this before, where like one of the biggest weaknesses of Last Epoch right now is you can have a skill with like 20 more damage modifiers in it. You have a skill with like 2, right? And you have like, you know, the special skills like Frostclaw that function without it because they have different ways of getting more damage, right? But I realized like that's part of the problem. That's why the power creep is so strong, is because like as the gear gets better overall, that width of power is like it was the same before. It's just now that everyone has a lot of more power in general in terms of gearing, the distance between something.
Yeah,
like,
it's a lot easier to juice up spark charges than it is to juice up Cinder Strike.
Yeah, and like because of that, that's why it's been so relevant. And I realized like, well, it's part of the gearing thing as well, which I want to talk about. But I was like, you know, last patch on Path of Exile, they did a gigantic list of changes or whatever with their skills.
Oh, the normalization for melee stuff, getting rid of totem.
Yeah, and you go and look at the numbers, and the numbers actually make sense. The added damage effectiveness, the attack speed, the mana cost, and all that. Although that did get nerfed this patch. But the added damage effectiveness, it's like you can literally see it as like a, like it's literally in a Reddit post, there's like a whole line of them, and you can see all the added damage effectiveness numbers. We don't have that last pocket at all. Like, it's just like all over the place. It's like, oh, Cinder Strike does 100% added damage effectiveness, has like one more damage modifier in its tree. And then like you see Earthquake, it's like 400% added damage effectiveness and has like 20 of them in their tree. And then you have like Rive. Rive has like maybe 10 and it has decent damage effectiveness and actual skill points and stuff like that. And it's like, it's so all over the place. If you did the same thing for last epoch, it would be so like, It'd be weird. You'd see jumps of like, oh, this is like 400% damage effectiveness if you multiplied all the modifiers. And then you'd see like Frostclaw, this is 17,000% damage effectiveness. And it's like, it's just, I'm just curious if they're ever going to like actually modernize the way that they scale damage in the game.
I'd like to see it happen all at once. Just like rip the bandaid off. I don't think it's going to happen all at once. I think it's going to happen slowly over time.
Yeah, and it's like, it's something that I've just been thinking about for a while, because it just causes so many issues, because what happens is they deal with the outliers, right? Like, constantly, mm-hmm. but since the whole of the other stuff hasn't been fixed yet in terms of the normalization of damage numbers, right? This is the same problem that Diablo 3 had, but Diablo 3 did it in a worse way than what Ellie is doing, so Diablo 3 had this issue, and to fix it, they just kept buffing stuff, right? And you get to the point where, like, you have billions and trillions of damage numbers, right? Ellie is doing it the other way, where they're just nerfing everything back into line, which I'm fine with, but I feel like as though until they actually do this normalization of damage or whatever, like, I feel like they're going to consistently have this problem into the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. The skills that are boring, the ones that like don't have any damage numbers on them, they don't get any popularity. You know, they don't get any face mm-hmm. time. They don't get featured in YouTube videos. Like, it'd be nice if, you know, Vengeance did something, or if Multi-Strike were a more exciting skill. Like, Multi-Strike has more multipliers, I guess, but...
Yeah, well, the only way I use Multi-Strike now is for the Smite stuff, pretty much. It's like, that's the only good thing about it right now. That's even remotely good about
it. It's good at generating forged weapons. I just don't care about forged weapons because the ring is bugged. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's just hard, Dread, that's all. Mm-hmm. We even went back and tested something today. It's kind of funny. Sacrificial Embrace is a unique pair of gloves that is not Ravenous Void.
Yeah.
But it drops from Elder Gaspar in that timeline. And we had an idea a long time ago to use it with, you know, Mana Strike plus Static. And like, is that still bugged from 3 years ago? Yeah, it's still bugged from 3 years ago.
I think it's still bugged, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely still bugged. It doesn't do anything. But, yeah, I don't know. Is Static good? Clearly, but...
Static is, like, one of those builds, like, the shield bash thing, where, like, it took a lot of effort to make work, at least in the passy patches.
But, like, it'd be nice...
I don't know how easy it is now, but...
It'd be nice if I could explore more things, and not just run into bugs when I try to explore. That's all.
That's what happened to me when I was playing the curse lock, the True. Spreading poison curse lock. I ran into this weird interaction for absolutely no reason. I'm like, wow, that really makes this suck, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, so Chthonic Fissure can exist, but this is where you draw the line.
it's not a draw the line. It's like a limitation of how it was coded, right?
It's a squiggly line.
It's a squiggly line.
Yeah,
it's a frustrating line. All right, let's see what else is on the docket for today.
All right, so I also made a video talking about how so you've talked about this before, and we've talked about it at length, but I'm going to bring it up again. It's because when I was streaming the 1.1 launch and all of the shenaniganry was happening with the merchant guild, you know, the duping and all that.
Okay.
I had a lot of people coming in and complaining about it, which is fine, right? But I had one particular person come and talk about red rings and like, oh my God, I was saving up to buy a red ring at 5 million gold. And it jumped up to 20 million. Remember that? Yeah. And then I was like explaining to the viewer, like, hey, it should never have been 5 million gold in the first place.
Unless you're farming 5 million on like the first day, you're never going to get it for 5 million.
Yeah, and like the fact it was even at 5 million is ridiculous or whatever, right? And I made a video showing how rare some of these items are. Like the difference. Did you know that the difference between a 2LP Blood Roost and a 3LP Blood Roost is by a factor of 40? By a factor of 40.
It's a lot.
It is 40 times rarer. So I had someone like, hey, I got a 2LP Blood Roost. I'm trying to upgrade to a 3LP Blood Roost, but all the ones on the market are absurdly priced. This is obviously because of the Merchant Skill dupe Zed guys, right? No. Have you looked how rare the item is? Like, you should not be viewing these items. And I talked about in the video. I was like, hey, like, you know, this applies to MG as well, just in a different way, by the way. Like, this applies to MG in every single way. It just, instead of a, oh, this is 200 million gold, this is a, I've been playing my build for 2 months and I still haven't seen an upgrade. It's the same thing, just different situation, right? And, like, so I went, like I said, I went to the Maxworld because they have the database, right? And they had like the numbers. They literally have the hard numbers in front of you. It's like, hey, this is 1 in 733 drops is like a red ring, of a unique ring, right? And rings don't even drop that often. So like, that's really rare, right? It's like, obviously this is going to be a very expensive item because it's also in high demand, right? And like, it's not going to be a cheap item. Like, how much would you sell that for? And I have a lot of comments to go through. So we're going to go through a few of them, right? So we have have the video. We have the context.
Just talking about like 2 or 3 LP stuff. Like, yeah, you got to farm the item and then you got to slam it and hope that you don't, you know, miss the 1 in 6 or the 1 in 2 or something. Like, so slamming feels great when it hits, but man, when it misses, it's like a punch in the gut.
Yeah, like here's one. So so in the video I was kind of memeing. I was talking about like, hey, some of these items you would probably die, have your essence of what you are, your matter, be sucked into a black hole before someone could drop
one. Oh, that's like, right? A 4LP Ravenous Void.
Yeah, well, the comment here is the chance for a 4LP Wings of Argentus before 1.1 was 2.72 times 10 to the power of -17.
Okay.
The chances to be swallowed by a black hole at the end of the universe were indeed higher. I'm like, yeah, it's like, and it's like, and my argument in the video is like, if they never exist, then why do they exist? And it's like, well, the argument that they have, it's like, well, wouldn't it be cool if, like, the chance of it, like, wouldn't it be cool if that random person dropped it? I'm like, yeah, if he actually dropped it.
Yeah. Oh, like, so what you're talking about is an old question. And this came up with the Ravenous Void first, which is why I brought up 4LP. So we talked about 4LP Ravenous Void when it was first introduced and how rare it was going to be. And it turned out, like, if you had, like, you and then, like, your kid and your kid's kid, and, like, it was, like, 80 generations of people could be playing the game, and they might find one 4LP Ravenous Void. That's like over their entire lifespan, like spending every waking moment playing Last Epoch. It's like, it's never really going to happen. But exactly what you've said there, like when you ask Mike, when you ask a member of EHG, their defense for like these things literally existing at all is that wouldn't it be neat if it could possibly happen? And they like the fantasy of that. And like, if you asked me, like, what would I do with it? I think my answer is probably the same as yours, but I'll ask you in a second here, Dread, is cap the LP for certain items. Just say like, you know, Ravenous Void will only ever drop with 2LP max, but make it more common. Like, we've learned already that having one random affix on a piece of gear is cool, interesting, and not game changing, because that's exactly what the egg does. You can egg a Ravenous Void, and even if you get melee attack speed, you know, you got gigantic. 15 melee attack speed, like, cool. That's really cool. But like, is that really breaking the game? No, it's just cool.
I don't like that comment. He's like, the game discovers chase items. We know chase items exist. We're not talking, like, imagine if some items were like this in Path of Exile, man. Like, imagine, like, okay, all right. Some of the chances here on these items, right? They're so absurd. They make Path of Exile look small, right?
Yeah, like, totally agree.
Like, even like some of the rarest items in like D2, you know, the stupid Tyrion chest or whatever it's called, Tyrion's Might, that's even easier to drop than some of these items we're talking about. And that's what we mean, is it's to the point where it's just absurdity. It's just absolute absurdity. Mm-hmm. right? And I, like I said, it's either they keep it, and I'm completely fine with them keeping it, if they just make it more apparent that that's how it works.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that'll come into the game, they'll be, because there are completionists, okay? A lot of people that play ARPGs are completionists.
And they will hate Last Epoch once they realize what's going on.
Mm-hmm. They play one build, and they want to complete it. They're like, okay, I'm going to play until I get this, all these items, my neat little ducks in a row, right? And since they don't know this information, since it is not, like,
it's
you do not see it in-game at all, right? And to find it, you have to be very specific when you're looking for items. Like, it'll like I said, if you look at only the LE Planner, which a majority of the community uses, by the way, even the developers use it. If you look at there, you'll be like, oh, like 4 LP, that's a 0.001% chance, right? But they don't realize how rare that actually is, mm-hmm. because it doesn't use the that's 0.001% chance
of that item.
Yeah. So if you drop 40 or Raven's Rises or whatever, that's like the chance of that being an LP item or whatever, right? But if you go to the Maxwell database, it's a lot easier to see the rarity, because it'll actually show you the odd chance. And apparently I was wrong in the video. So there's a comment here, just a minor note, one in 733 chance, that's for Red Ring, by the way, to get one, chance means that after 733 attempts, there's a 63% chance that you'll get one. So even 733 attempts are far from guaranteed. So 733, one in 733 is the average of attempts.
One in 733 unique rings dropping on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is the average attempt, right? That's not even, that's not talking about like the upper echelon if you were to get unlucky, mm-hmm. right? To have a 98% chance, I think he said, you would need well over 5,000 rings to guarantee, well, quote unquote, guarantee a red ring drop, right? And like these get like just astronomical, right? Mm-hmm. Just absolutely astronomical. Like, it's weird, because when I talk to COF people about this, right, they'll talk about Red Ring, and I'll be like, hey, how long did it take you to get a Red Ring? They're like, oh my god, it took me like a week of constant farming at like 5,000 corruption back in the old system, okay? And it was still rare for them, and they had all the boosts and everything. And we know, with evidence, that grinding for a red ring in COF is easier than grinding for a red ring in MG because of the prices, right? And how it, like, you know, fluctuates. So it's just like, some of these items are just like they're, if they're impossible, relatively impossible, like, I would like to know, I would like the information.
It should be in game. Yeah, absolutely.
At the very least, if they want to keep the system, which I'm completely fine if they want to, it should, like, even if the game guide, even if the game guide had like a table in it.
Yeah,
like,
they, and it should. It totally should. This actually goes back to what we were just talking about a moment ago with like Eye of Green and with Plague, Spirit Plague, right? Like, it's okay if it's this rare. Maybe you and I don't like it, but the most important thing is we want this information to be in game, and we want it to make sense.
A few comments on the video, and they pointed out correctly, and I talked about it in the video as well. It's like, it's less about and how it is, it's more like the community perception of things. Yep. Like, for instance, like, you know, like, if people don't expect to get a 4 LP Ravenous Void, which they shouldn't, right, obviously, like, then it's fine. Like, for instance, if you see a 1 LP Ravenous Void in someone's build and they're playing an Emergence Guild, you will know that that item is absurdly rare, and you should never, ever, ever aim for one. And if you drop one, it's cool. Funny, right? It happened. Cool, right? And that's like the thing is, like, if we just get the information in game, like, I'd be fine with it. It's like, whatever. So, who cares?
So I want to comment on a couple of things you mentioned there, but like, you know, 3 weeks to get a red ring at 5,000 corruption. It takes like two or three days to get a red ring.
It
does not take long to get a red ring.
It's just like, that was like back in the day too. So yeah. I didn't know.
It's real easy.
So I don't know.
To get a red ring. Like, if you want a red ring in COF, go get one. It's fine. You do it.
I mean, you know, if you want a red ring, right? all we gotta do is just follow Perry around, and sometimes he just drops them.
Okay, here it comes. I drop one on the ground by accident, and it just haunts me for the rest of my life. But you know, it's not a big deal, because now I've got four more of them, so it really doesn't matter.
I think another cool thing would, damn it, would be, like, in the planner, right? It shows you, like, if you hover over the item, it just shows you the percent chance of you
dropping. Like, how rare this thing is?
Yeah, how, like, and in a way that's more consumable to your average viewer.
So Dammit is the one who makes lastdepoctools.com, and he has tried to do that. That's why when you see 1, 2, 3, or 4 LP, the first thing that shows up is the English text of common, uncommon, rare, very rare, virtually impossible, you're going to die before you get this. And then if you hover over it, then it shows you the percentage chance. Like, he did that for a reason, to make it more intelligible.
Yeah, but even then, like I said, it doesn't, like I said, it, like, for instance, right, if we were to look at Red Ring again, I'm just going to bring it up. So I'm going to look at Red Ring in the planner. I'll look it up. It's like, requires level 80, right? That doesn't inform the viewer that you need to be level 80 zone. You need, well, there's multiple layers to this, okay? If you're playing Merchant Skill, right? People to drop the Red Ring would need to be in an 80 zone or higher. Only very small amount of people get to Empowered Monolith. We know this because the devs have the numbers on this, and they have told us what's the number. It's very small, right? It's very small. Up to 300 corruption, it's like 1% or something stupid like that. It's like ridiculous, like, how small it is. So you have a subset of the player base already that are getting there, right? And they have to be in Merchant Skilled, so you're having the player base again, right? So you have two degrees of separation already from the normal population, right? Then the third degree of separation is the effective legendary potential of 100, like we know, right? So that's a third degree of separation. But the fourth degree of separation is, not many people know this, but how do uniques drop on the ground? Well, you have you just have a ring that it's like the item stuff, it chooses a ring to drop. That ring then rolls its rarity with the rarity percent, right? So it can be common, rare, exalted, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get all the extra modifiers from COF, but we won't talk about those here because we're talking about Merchant Skilled, right? So then it needs to choose a unique, right? And
you're getting to reroll chance.
Yeah. And most of the player base, right? Like, most of the player base are not pushing that high of corruption. So their rarity percent is not that very high. So not only do you have a very small amount of rings dropping, because they just don't drop that often. I don't know if you've looked around, but rings just don't drop that often in comparison to other items. Even if you get the ring blessing, right? Even if you get the ring blessing, they just don't drop that often. Like, if you actually go and play it and, like, notice your drops, you don't see that many rings, right? Even if you, like, showed all rare rings, you wouldn't see that many. So then they have to upgrade into legendary. Then that has to be a red ring, right, after 700. So you have so many degrees of separation that aren't shown in the planner. They're shown there. They're just not shown there in English terms. They're shown there in we're neckbearding about last epoch terms, right? Like, I see requires level 80, level 100. It's a ring. I know rings are rare. They don't drop that often, right? I know that, but they're not going to know all of the degrees of separation that is keeping them from seeing a red ring. And it's like, that's why I'm like, well, yeah, it's nice to have the LP stuff there. But, like, I'll be honest, the LP stuff doesn't even matter in that regard. Like, what matters is only, like, how many people playing in, like, Empowered Monoliths that can actually see a red ring drop. That's even worse. Like, that's worse. Like, let me go with the Steam charts.
But are people not in Empowered Monoliths expecting to get a red ring?
No.
Then that's fine.
Yeah, I agree that's fine. But right now, there's 3,560 people playing Last Epoch. So I'm going to assume, since they're playing this late in the cycle, those are all people that are actually in Empowered Monos and Flow, right? Sure. That's 3,560 people. Do you think that's enough to, like, actually fill the market with, like, red rings? I doubt it. I doubt it, right? Like, at all. Like, that is not enough people to actually fill out the market in that regard, right? And a lot of them are probably also playing like COF as well, so that reduces it even more. So that's why I get annoyed when we're like, when someone's like, oh my god, like the market dupe is causing all of my items to be rare, and they're like talking about like 3 LP like
blood, yeah, I was gonna like, say what like, you're really getting at is the person at the very beginning of this conversation when we said like they want to upgrade from a 2 LP to a 3 LP. And it's like, well, good for you, but you, that might not happen before 1.2 launches.
Yeah. I dislike the line of reasoning of this argument. The player base who don't get to empowered models are upset. No, we're not saying the people who, we're talking about the people who do actually get to empowered monoliths and actually like push, and they look at the planner and they look at Red Ring. They're like, I want to put that in my build because every streamer and every person is putting it in their build, right? So I want it in my build because it's obviously good since everyone's using it, but they don't realize how actually rare it is.
You want Red Ring? Just play COF. Easy peasy.
Yeah, you should. You should just play
COF. Also, at this point, if your Virgin's guild, just go like Crab Ring or Osirian or, you know, just a different ring. Like, it's fine. Now, no big deal.
The other part of the conversation here as well, it brings back to the power creep thing. I don't think you should ever need a red ring to do content, right? It's like, you like, obviously, you know, like a red ring's nice when you're pushing corruption and all that, but with the amount of corruption that, you know, that is average now, like, you shouldn't need a red ring.
Well, for the static ring. Encounters in the game, no build needs red ring. Yeah, no exactly. Real build needs red ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Only Sentinel builds, because, you know, they don't have anything. But 180 attributes is a lot of attributes to get if you're not using Cleaver Selection.
It is a lot of attributes, especially if you're not an attribute stacking build. Mm-hmm. Like
intelligence can get there, but like even strength, I feel like strength's kind of hard to get there.
It is actually very hard to get there. Red like ring. Unless you're like using a Twisted Heart, right? But although Twist Heart's a good item, so it's just like, it's fine to slap on, right?
Put it on your build anyways, because the implicit is percent increase health. All right. We're kind of rambling about this. I don't mind the topic. I kind of like it. But you know, player expectations about how rare stuff actually is. Yeah, I can appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting because, like I said, I had a lot of people talk to me about it. I'm like, we should talk about this.
How rare is my gear? All right. Did you have other things on your list you want to talk about today?
I think that's the last on my specific list. That's just like up front in my face. There is an interesting build that just came out, but you wouldn't be interested in it at all because it requires a Chthonic Fissure on the bar. So,
Chthonic Fissure. What's going on with Chthonic Fissure these days?
Oh, so someone found a new way of abusing Chthonic Fissure. So, you know that build that I was playing where it was like Infernal Shade and you were like popping it on zombies to do the big explosion and that can scale your ignites?
And the Chthonic Fissure was there to consume the Infernal Shades, right?
No. This was on a Lich. That was the Lich version. And I was like, you know, I know this, I played the Lich version because I thought it'd be more fun and I didn't want to put Chthonic Fissure on my bar. Mm-hmm. But I was like, when I was playing, I'm like, you know, the Warlock version of this is probably going to be very strong. Absolutely fucking busted all hell. just fucking ridiculous. Because so what happens is you're scaling Ignite, right? Cool. You get the Ignite pop at the end because you're consuming it and it's stopping because it counts as ending. But you also get to scale spell damage and LE damage over time. And all of that scales your damage. So you're running Ignites, which are scaling your damage. You're running the spell damage, which is also scaling your damage. Like, because you get the hit and the hit applies with all the more damage modifiers. You get the more damage modifiers in Infernal Shade for the spell damage. And then, like, it all happens instantly. So you're chaining Infernal. It's just disgusting. The gear that I'm looking at this character is Antez. He's actually a member of my community. He was playing it. We did a build showcase on it. And he got to like 1.4 corruption in a week with like some really trashy gear. And it's like people are like, oh my god, Torment. I'm like, this is less gear than Torment, like easily. Like, it was just absolutely disgusting. Like,
I barely understand what's going on here. I'm gonna have to watch that video.
Okay, I'll explain it. Okay.
I just really haven't played that much Warlock.
Okay. So, Infernal Shade is a spell damage over time spell.
Aware, yep.
Okay. LE damage over time, fire damage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of its modifiers are generic more modifiers, okay? All of them. Every single one. There's nothing that says direct damage, spell damage, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So there's also a node that it gives you an explosion at the end of Infernal Shade, okay? Right? So that explosion inherits all the more damage modifiers, and then it also gets a 200% more damage modifier to boot.
Got it.
Generically, okay?
I've seen these nodes. Go on.
The normal build just applies ignites with that giant explosion.
Okay.
But since you're playing Chthonic Fissure, there's a node in Chthonic Fissure that makes your Infernal Shade take all of its damage instantly. So the duration of the shade, mm-hmm. all that damage, it's like Abyssal Echoes. Mm-hmm. It turns your Infernal Shade into Abyssal Echoes. And we know how strong Abyssal Echoes is, right? Imagine you could scale the spell damage over time on the Infernal Shade at the same time as scaling the ignite. So, and then as you scale Ignite, it benefits both of them because you get the Ignite Overload, which scales both, right?
Because it scales more fire damage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you are scaling both the Ignites and the spell damage over time, and it's not shit. It's absolutely broken. It's insane.
And like, it's good?
Goodness. And it's good. Like, really good. Like, absurdly good. Like, no gear, like, absurdly good. Like... Yeah, Antez is in chat. Like I was surprised at how much damage is actually doing. Like he makes 1.5 corruption, 1.5 corruption like bosses look like a pushover. It's like that's disgusting. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is totally not gonna get nerfed.
Can we have one good like paladin build? Come on.
I mean, you have the flame burst thing that technically.
Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah. Like the smite stuff, like that can do damage.
It's just
remember Hammerthrow got nerfed. Remember,
did Hammerthrow get nerfed?
I mean, what the
oh the smite Hammerthrow version? Sure,
yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody said this. They had like a nice little one liner describing melee sentinel builds recently. Mm-hmm. And they just said that they just felt like they were solving too many problems, and they didn't want to solve problems anymore. They just wanted to play the game. And like that's Sentinel and that's melee and that's Sentinel melee builds, you know, just like,
yeah. Remember when I was playing the multi smite build and I said I had to put on the ring to make myself immortal so I could mm-hmm. actually push higher. That's solving the squishiness problem of
just,
being a
just
dual
so many
build
problems. Yeah. Right? So many problems to solve. Like, why can't I just be like ranged spellcaster and, you know,
why can't I put my Chthonic Fissure down and just kill everything on the screen?
Why can't I just use Spark Charges, man? I don't know.
Spark Charge Forge card next. Let's go.
True.
Oh man, imagine if your minions could apply Spark Charges. That'd be disgusting.
They can currently.
I mean, yeah, but like with more than 100%.
Wait.
You can actually amount.
No, not with 100. Wait, so. Huh. If the forge weapon rings are bugged right now and your forge weapons inherit all of your gear, does that mean that they can apply spark charges on hit?
I mean, if you're running the catalyst, I assume they get the catalyst stat too.
Yeah, they should, right?
About not, right?
Can we just go play a bugged build and play spark charge forge weapons? We really should do that.
With actual clear.
Woo-hoo. That could be fun. That could be a good little project. All right, Twitch chat's excited as well. Oh, that sounds fun. I haven't thought about that until now. Maybe. Yeah.
So dumb. All right. You have any other topics?
I'm enjoying playing melee builds. And
I've actually been enjoying playing melee builds too.
I wish they were better. I wish lots of things, but I don't know. I spent a lot of time playing Melee Gathering Storm. Put some Frostbite Melee Gathering Storm Beastmaster. Been playing like the Smelter's Wrath, Rive, Vengeance thing on a Forge Guard as well. And like, I like them, you know, they're not bad builds, but like, I just need to forget that the OP builds in Last Epoch exist.
Yeah, that's been my content like for like 90% of the time I've been making content on YouTube has been ignored because that's how I've been doing things. Like I'm kind of sad that I made a video on Tornado Werebear because it's going to get nerfed. The
Tornado Werebear build's really good.
I know. And no one was playing it before me. Like, I'm not saying this as like a ha-ha.
No, you really cool. shed a light yeah, on that. I was for just sure.
like, hey, guys, like, this exists. Mm-hmm. It was funny because I was talking to Misha about it. So Misha is a member of community. She usually plays a bunch of Forge Guard, but mm-hmm. she was like, hey, I want to play Primalis's patch because EHC hates Forge Guard because, you know, they removed mm-hmm. One of the best DR
Hammer nodes thing,
for yeah. absolutely no reason, right? So I was like, I'm not going to play Sentinel anymore because obviously they... Like it's like that encroachment thing where it's like the government encroachment where they're like closely or like, you know, getting closer to the house and they're like, you know, it would be cool if you sold your property to us. It's the same thing, but with Forge Guard, right? Or like Paladin or Sentinel. It's like they're slowly encroaching upon us. And it's like, I'm gonna go play Druid instead. I need a good Druid build that's good and deals, because the problem with Druid builds is the good ones don't deal damage. Or usually the good ones don't deal damage. They're just good because they're tanky, right? So she was like, hey, could you like, is there like any like good Druid builds that do damage? I'm like, you know, there's this meme with like Tornado and you like use Werebear form as Death Seal and use it just for damage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she was like, oh, that sounds like ass. I'm like, yeah, it does sound like ass, but it's something I want to try. And then I tried it. Wait, no, Misha, this is insane. It's ridiculous. Well, it's ridiculous for two reasons. One, it's just generically strong. Two, there's a bug that's giving it insane range for absolutely no reason. But even if they nerf that, like, it's still not going to make the build bad. It's just like going to put it back on planet Earth instead mm-hmm. of, you know, like the damage is still going to be there. It's still deleting Aberroth. It's still going to be the same build. It's just not going to be the, I'm going to garner so much favor per hour. It's ridiculous because you off screen so hard.
Killing everything in arena before you even see them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right. I think, let's see, how long have we been chatting here? Just over an hour at this point. I think that's fine. There's really like...
Fine.
Yeah, we're 5 weeks into the patch. We're just kind of hanging out, talking about the builds we've been playing, what's on our mind. And I think we drew it out anymore.
What's really cool is as we play more build, like as we've been playing builds, like I said, I've been playing builds and making videos. As I do that, I'm just like, you know, this would be cool to talk about on the podcast.
I've been doing that
a bunch, right? Like for instance, every single build I played and video I made, like the power creep in Last Epoch, that's a topic for the podcast. The stupid, you know, fucking spirit plague, that's a topic. Like, why does this have to be so awkward for no reason? The infernal shade thing, we can complain about Chthonic Fissure more. And then like Aurelis Polaris devotion, we can talk about how like Dread is stupid and was testing the reversal nerfs before they came in. And then like you know, the rarity, like you've been digging up topics too with the stupid fucking the frostbite thing, like the gathering storm and how it sucks. Mm-hmm. It's like everyone else gets to use me, but when we use Gathering Storm, it sucks. Mm-hmm. But everyone gets to use my stuff, you know?
True. All right. So I do want to reiterate, just in case we have like EAG people out there, like we've touched on this 4 times during the podcast. Just like if we want the information in the game to be like readily available and to make sense, I guess. Because we talked about Eye of Reen, we wanted like the correct wording on it. We talked about Spirit Plague, we want the correct wording on it. We talked about rarity modifiers in our gear, or sorry, rarity modifiers like LP, chance, whatnot, and wanting that to be in game so that people know what those are.
Even the game guide, like that's fine
just
for me.
Yeah, the game guide is so good. When someone
complains to me about like, oh, I can't get this item, I can just be like, go
game guide
and go read that.
Yep,
go read that. Yeah,
and I want more of that in the game. So.
Yeah,
I think that about does it. This was episode 52 of the Rat City Radio podcast. Thank you for being here, Dread. Appreciate you hanging out and spending your time with us. If you're watching,
anytime.
If you're watching later on YouTube, Spotify, Twitch, anything like that, let us know where you're watching. We'll make sure that the watching experience, the viewing experience, is as good as it can be for you. So until next time, I wasn't ready for this. Die less than I do. Wait a minute. Until next time. We'll see you then.